shot.
Let's go. Pour the mushroom.
Welcome to the League of Dreaming.
Hello and welcome to episode 431 of the LeeCast podcast. I'm your host, Nick the King Cooper. Joining me, Aiden Frost Rockarts.
Heyo, what's good?
And Colton Blue Basket Sweat.
Boys, the ELO roller coaster is back, but now in TFT.
Whoa, dude, that's pretty pog. So hey, this week, before we discuss what we got going on for our particular weeks, we've got a tiny little bit of LeagueCast news. We don't have any league news or Riot news in general. We do have one. I apologize for this. I'm going to get out in front of it. It's very long. Sorry. So I do want to apologize for that beforehand.
But we're always going to read them every time, no matter what, even if they have the entire B-movie script. So
yeah, somehow you fit it into the character limit.
Yeah, that's weird.
So, Aiden's got some Aphelios tips for us. We've got a little bit of LCS news roundtable from last week with your answers, and roundtable from this week with our answers, and some emails to round out the show. Aiden, how was your week?
My week is good. I didn't play real League of Legends, but I played other League games. I played Runeterra, I played TFT, I played Valorant, and yeah, I think all those games currently are more fun than League. I think Runeterra's, I mean, I'm trying to like grind in the rank. Well, I'm not really grinding in the ranked. I'm just like doing daily quests, but I'm doing them in ranked. And I haven't lost a ranked game in that yet. It also reset me to bronze like after the last split or whatever. I think I was gold one, sent me to bronze one. But yeah, the games are just easy, man. Like I just haven't lost yet. I also hate that like it seems like a really good deck right now, and Runeterra is running like there's good comps that are running no champions. I feel like you should have to have champions. I feel like that you should
be forced to put one champion in.
Yeah, for
I
sure.
Agree.
It feels like so wrong that you have decks that are like supposed to have like these like almost like figureheads, and then they just don't run them, and you're like, oh, cool, pog.
Yeah, I agree.
Other than that, like Runeterra's fun, Valorant bad at, especially if you take a break from it, makes it even harder to get good at. And then TFT, I've just been like grinding like the TFT like pass missions and stuff. Some of those are a little dumb.
You're not
like
climbing
today.
The ladder?
No, I don't think the game's like super. I don't know. It's all right. I feel like you have to play a fucked amount of it to like, and you have to play a lot of it consistently to like do well in it though. Mm. Also, I think the missions are like such a nightmare. Especially when they're like activate this trait or whatever, right? So like the missions came out today for like the TFT pass, right? So I'm like, whatever, I'll just quickly try to knock out the first one. Like I'll just lose, but I'll like get it, which is like I think it was 6 cybernetic, right? And it was also the galaxy that gives you the items at the beginning.
Wow.
So I'm like, it's already good for cybernetic. So 7 out of 8 people in our game ran cybernetic. but
it's almost
like
when you force people into comps with quests, everyone runs the comp regardless of actually playing well.
Yeah, so I just hit it and died. But I'm like, cool, now I don't have to run that, and now like everyone in all my games are still running it, so it's just like I'm just playing normals, like, so I don't really care. It doesn't really matter if I win or lose. I'm just playing for like quests, but it's just fucking, I don't think quests should be like the way they've done it in the past, was go this or this, as like if you have to like hit 6 or something like that. But these ones are just like hit, like do exactly this one. It feels super like weird for a quest. It feels like, hey, do this and lose the game, which is just very odd. It's the second, I think, worst quest they've had so far out of this entire pass. The worst one was lose streak for 7 rounds and then come top 4, which is it's a fucking nightmare of a quest. Like, I don't know how you like it's a nightmare, first of all, because it's hard to lose 7 rounds in a row and then win. That's like by its own measure hard. Obviously they have lose streaking as mechanic. Second of all, it's hard when other people have that exact same quest, so they're also trying to lose streak. So I mean, if you go in someone else who is lose streaking, one of you doesn't lose streak anymore. Anyways, that's my fucking rant about quests. I think they should just make them like less shit. Those are like,
yeah,
really,
I think the
TFT
quests are not very good.
Yeah, I have, like, 2 more that I have to get done in the next 4 hours. One of them is, like, earning 2,000 gold, which I have to play, like, 2 games to finish up. Mm-hmm. And then one of them is I have to eliminate 2 more players, which, once again, is pretty RNG. It's, like, you have to roll against someone who is about to be eliminated, which...
Yeah.
Yeah, and beat them.
Like... Yeah. So, I mean, I don't think that one's as bad, but it's just, like, once again, it's, like, weirdly RNG-specific.
Yeah, it's not like most of the League missions, which, one, don't really affect... your chance of winning the game too much, and you actually have control over, right? Where it's just like, mm-hmm. get 5 kills on Pantheon. Okay, so all you have to do is play Pantheon and do relatively well. But it's not just like, oh man, get 5 kills in Pantheon on ARAM, and you're just like, oh fuck. Let me just hope that I roll Pantheon one of these games, and I have to contest it against everyone on my team.
Yeah, it's just odd. I think they've just, like, it's probably hard to make missions for TFT compared to, like, other game modes. It's just, like, you're pretty limited, I think, but it's just it's a little annoying.
I mean, I would love to just see it be, like, get a fucking first, get a third, like, mm-hmm. survive round whatever, complete a 2-star 5 cost, like, very general things are fine. The more specific you get, the worse it is, right? If it's, like, 3-star or 4 cost unit, that's a fine quest, because you can do that in almost any build. You have to play specifically to try and do that. You have to do well, but, like, you're not sitting there contesting cybers against 7 people.
Mm-hmm. Who also have the same mission.
Yeah, or just, like, give options, right? Like, make it so, like, there's 2 different options. Multiple. Or make it for, if it's a really hard mission, give it, like, do this, or come top 4 in 5 games.
Yeah, like, exactly, right? Or especially those trait ones, I would love to have it just be, like, activate a trait that takes 6 units instead of, like, having to have one of them specifically. Like, it's already hard enough. I don't know. I'm not a huge fan of those missions. But jumping back to, like, the very first thing you said, I just think it's wild that, like, jump back, like, a year or two, and imagine hearing that from yourself. Just like, oh, I've been playing a bunch of, like, Riot games this week, but no League of Legends.
Yeah.
Like, what? There are other ones?
My only League game I played a Decay game for my main. I got top lane instead of support.
You playing ARAM, too.
Yeah, I play ARAM with Kennedy. But
so
like,
you played Maokai,
that,
right?
No, I played Ornn top. And then I landed into Rumble, which I learned is a pretty good matchup. Because top lane's about counterpicking. He's also Diamond 2. By the way, there's 2 Diamond 2, or 3 Diamond 2 players in my game, and I'm Diamond 4 0 points. So my MMR is fucked, apparently. and then my Lee Sin was a rage case. Like, everyone on our team reported him. I got an instant feedback report. And I had this guy on my team who's super, super nice. Awesome guy. He's maining Sion support now. And he's, like, 80% win rate with it or something.
That's kind of interesting.
I'm like, hey, dude, in chat, he's like, hey, do you actually, like, do you think Sion support is good? And he's like, yeah, it's fucking sleeper OP.
That's kind of how I feel about Maokai support.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think he just duels really well. He has point
fuck
and click,
Maokai
plus
support.
The sustain.
Yeah. He does way too much damage. Fuck Maokai support.
Yeah, I just think, like, those characters are definitely slept on. I think it's cool seeing people, like, innovate stuff like that, though. So maybe we should try some Sion support this week. That'd be some fun stuff to do. Other than that, I think not too much, actually. What about you, Colton?
So like I alluded to at the very beginning, it's been a bit of a ELO roller coaster. Went from D3, like, 90 points to Plat 1, like, 50 points, and now I'm back up to D3, 60 points or so. So,
Jesus.
It's wild how quickly you move in TFT. I also played a decent amount of ranked games this week. I played a bunch of support games on, like, Pyke and Alistar, just, like, engage supports. It's nutty how fucking bad some people are. Where, like, they'll be like, oh my god, like, how'd you do? And it's like, just, oh, what do you mean? Like, I'm just playing this character properly? Or, like, you watch your solo lanes int it down, and you're just like, for fuck's sake. Like, I'm, like, 7-1 in a game we lost. This isn't good. I'm gonna go to my history and see. I'm sure there's a couple of those games that I'm just, like, so upset that I lost.
For which character?
Let's see. I've got a nice 8-3-10 game on Swain support that I lost, where I started, like, 5-0. Let's see. 7-4-9 on Pyke and lost. The game that I think I started lane 4-1-8 on Pyke, and we lost that game. Just Christ. Like, come on. I also played a bunch of Zillion support. Man, Zillion's fun. I mean, he's dumb, but he's fun.
So I think Swain's kind of bad right now.
You think Swain's bad?
I think his best role is support, but I think he's still bad.
I think he's like mid to high tier for support. I think he's like not S, not, she's probably high B, I would say, for support.
Yeah, he's definitely just like, if you run Electrocute and can land the E, he's just nutty harass. But if you're playing against good players, you don't really get to do that. But I'm playing in
D4. He seems very much to me like a Winmore character, not...
Yeah.
Yeah, that's fair.
Sort of. He's not going to do anything if you're behind, which kind of sucks.
But it's really fun when you are ahead, just like throwing out your E and chunking people to half, and then just being like, come on, come try and farm. Deal with it.
Yeah.
Aside from that, a little bit of For the Kings, Slay the Spire as per usual. Finally finished getting around to watching through The Legend of Korra. I've been watching that for a while, but just actually finished it last week. So it's really good. Not as good as Avatar, in my opinion, but
didn't win
you
a Peabody.
Guys have seen neither, so no point comparing.
Nice one, Nathan. Got him.
Thanks.
Got me. I think my next binge show is probably going to be Arthur, obviously.
So a lateral move for you there.
A pretty lateral move, yeah. no, but... yeah, so Legend of Korra is pretty good. Other than that, though, that's pretty well my week. I'm going to be moving out of my apartment complex in the next couple weeks, so hopefully that's a quick and easy transition, but it's kind of hard picking an apartment when most places aren't doing in-person tours.
Yeah.
And you're just like, I probably don't want to sign a 13-month lease without having seen the place.
Probably yeah. not.
Yeah, so that's been a thing that hopefully I've got a couple visits this weekend planned, so hopefully that goes smoothly and I'm not stressing out about it. But how was your week, Nick? What have you been up to in good old Florida land?
It was good. I've played a lot of League this week because I'm trying to grind for this Lucian Prestige skin. I think let's do a point check-in real quick.
You fucking would, man.
I'm
You're
at 758 points.
Game solution.
758?
758
tokens, yep.
Oh, I'm at 749.
Ooh, kind of seems like I'm a better player then, huh?
Because you played that ARAM earlier and I didn't play with you.
True. Hey, we lost that one, so that's only two, actually.
Three, thank you very much.
I'm
three
at 628 and I didn't buy the pass.
Nice.
Pog.
But yeah, I'm enjoying it, I guess. I've just been focused on playing games and not really worrying
You'll
about
get there when you get there.
Too much. Yeah. It's whatever. I'll get all the missions done. I'll spam as many games as I can. It'll be fine. Otherwise, I've played a ton of what's that card? Oh, Legends of Runeterra this week. Kind of getting a little upset at some of the decks, some of the common decks that I'm running into. So I'm gonna turn to net decking pretty soon.
Hey, Nick, how many times have you played against Sejuani Teemo control?
Zero. Actually, Zero? Oh, I'm sorry. One time. I played against it one time.
Oh, was that me or a different time?
It was you. Oh, okay. That's the only time I played against it. So you've got a very unique, like, synergistic jet deck. Like, I wasn't upset at how the deck played out, unlike anything to do with Frostbite and that whole interaction where it's just not fun and you just don't get to play the game.
You know, it's more not fun though than like control decks. Just fucking decks that hit face, man. Just aggro. Like they're running double like decimate the like four damage to Nexus spell. When you're running shit cards like that, dude, and you lose shit like cards like that, you're just so mad. Like,
yeah, the only time it's okay to lose the decimate is when your opponent plays a captain.
Yeah,
that turns all your cards into decimate.
Yeah,
but that's it. So that's kind of it. I think I'm gonna play a like a Crimson Swain deck.
Ooh.
Crimson Swain Vladimir, maybe?
Mm-hmm.
Which should be pretty cool. So, yeah. Looking forward to playing more of that. What did you get your chest up to last week?
Like 8 or 9.
Ooh, I got mine up to 13, I think.
Is 14 the highest rank, I think? Or is 13 highest?
I thought it could go forever.
No, it's one of those two. Chest, weekly.
Well, it wasn't 13, because I could go higher.
I think it might be 14, to be honest.
Hmm. I thought it could go on forever. It just capped. Like, it would just give you another wild card or something.
No, rank 13 is the max rank.
Oh,
unless they changed it since the beta, but I found, like, that they talk about in beta.
Oh. So I got it. Oh, nice. Max level, which is, yeah,
three diamond chests.
Yeah. Also, this past week, I got my first expedition all done. A clean 7-0. It was wild, dude. You get so much stuff for winning seven games in a trial. It's crazy.
Oh, in the new game, they added level 14 plus. So, like, after level 13, you can just continuously get one more. You can go forever, and it just gives you an extra capsule with, like, two commons and three rares.
Okay, gotcha.
But beta was capped to 13.
Gotcha. That makes sense. But, yeah. So, I mean, that's kind of what I've been up to. I was able to reinstall and successfully navigate fucking Uplay today. Because I'm gonna play some Black Flag, I think.
Awesome.
The game's good, and I'm very excited. So yeah, let's get on to the show, where we have one new patron since last week. Thank you to Chaos Reaper for supporting us on Patreon. Appreciate that. We recorded our JoJo patron show last week, our localization tier list, and can we give them, like, what's a little preview that we want to give them? Just a little taste, you know?
Can we just talk about the all-star that came at the end? The thing that reminds you of one of my profile pictures? Good old Flaccid Pancake.
Limp Bizkit being translated to Flaccid Pancake.
So that was definitely one of the standouts, I think.
Oh,
so
for
if
sure.
if that piques your interest, or you want to hear us jerk off about JoJo for a while, you know, give us, what, $1 a month, and you can listen to that show.
And all of our other Patreon content. There's a bunch.
And our other Patreon content. Yeah, we are recording the next set of champions that we would rework this tonight, actually, after the show. Mm-hmm. We'll be working on E characters. So that's pretty exciting. But yeah. So, like we said, no Rising news. So we're just going to go straight into Starry's. Colton, can you please read this one? My voice is a little sore already, and I don't want it to.
Yeah. So
I can't lose it this early.
Let me just get some water real quick.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. So the title of this this 5-star review from Fofo Zen is "Good League Podcast." 5 stars. And so the review again, it's good. Period.
Thank you,
Fofo Zen, awesome. For that excellent long review. Really, really spelt out all of the strengths of our podcast with some nice constructive criticism to help us improve the show. So thank you again for that 5-star review. It was really great.
We would like to advise everyone, like, if you're going to leave a review, please, please leave it shorter so we can actually read it on the show.
Yeah.
More than one in.
Yeah, you put a space in between those words. That's really more than needed. I would have been able to know it's good without the space.
That's true.
Probably it good would have been enough. And it good. There's quotes. There's a period. Too much. Really,
I mean, you could probably take out the D too and just make it it goo.
It goo. It does goo, man. This show fucking goos.
Weren't we supposed to get cakes going?
Oh,
was that, was
we
that
were.
The word? Shit cakes, dude.
Maybe. I don't remember that. Huh. It's probably you who started it, Aiden.
It probably was you. I think it might have been an email, too. One of those two. Cool. Aiden, why don't you tell us about Aphelios?
Yeah, so my plan for the next couple of weeks, while we don't have content, because apparently there's no content coming out any week for League of Legends ever, is to slowly teach our listeners how to play Aphelios as I try to learn him. And I have maybe one or two games on him out of, like, 15 or 20. But I'm understanding how to play him better, and guess what, he's a lot of fun when you understand how to play him. So I'm gonna, like, at like maybe like a minute at a time, actually not it, I said 60 second tips in my, like, on the document or whatever, but just like I'm gonna go through like little parts of him, like, so. Well, I just want to talk about the very beginning.
It just says 60 tips.
Yeah, I thought you actually had a list of 60 tips.
No.
It's gonna be so funny.
Oh, no, it's supposed to be 60 second tips.
Okay, there we go.
Yeah. No, so like I spotted, like, this week, for example, to go through, like, maybe just the very beginning of the game, not runes, masteries, all that shit, whatever, because, like, that changes and stuff like that. Like, right now I still run press the attack, but a lot of people run conquer on him. But I want to get into, like, more like the nitty gritty about him and stuff. So, like, how you, like, start lane, what do you do with your guns, what are you looking for combo wise and maybe, like, as we're going on, we can progress to different states of the game. But I want to talk about maybe, like, the first, like, 5 minutes of laning phase, where you start either Doran's Blade or Doran's Shield. I think Doran's Shield's pretty sick because he's a pretty weak character early. Level one, you're super weak, so you don't really go for any trades. But more importantly, this is something that I learned, and I think it helps out a lot. So you start it with Calibrum, which is your sniper, and Severum, which is your healing pistol. When you leash your jungler, only use Severum. This will give you, with your Overheal plus Severum's passive, it will give you, like, a health shield going into lane. So you'll start lane with, like, an extra 50 health shield, which is, like, a... That alone is, like, just a such an easy tip to, like, go into lane. And then when you get into lane, only last hit with Severum. Like, never use your sniper rifle, unless you're getting zoned off and you need to use your, like, sniper rifle the last hit. But use your pistol for, like, the early part of laning phase, right? You're just going to be building up a shield so that you, like, kind of mitigate the number, the amount of poke they can do to you throughout, like, the laning phase. You're really only looking for poke with your sniper gun when you can get it. Don't really poke with your pistol, only poke with your sniper. And don't use your Q with this combo. This is something that I like learned is you're going to try to like burn through your Severum by lasting minions with your pistol. And as soon as you switch to Gravitum, and then you can start going for combos with your Q. So I mean, you can shoot your sniper out, and when it hits them, you can root them with your Gravitum, which is like your utility cannon. So like that's kind of like your first three guns, how you use them in lane, right? You start by leashing buff with your pistol to heal up. In lane, you use your pistol to keep your shield and get a bigger shield. And then use your sniper to like just go for like poke damage on them, not using Q. And as soon as you burn through your healing pistol and you get Gravitum, you can use your Q on your sniper to go for stun plays. Meaning, if your jungler is coming for a gank, it's so easy to set up a gank if you hit a Q with your sniper, and then you can stun them from like, I don't know, what's the range on his sniper? It's something crazy, like
700 or something.
I wish it said on the wiki. It doesn't say. It's like it's an insane range though that you can. Oh, and you can root from. You can use the effect from 1,800 range away.
Ooh,
that's crazy, right?
Oh, I thought you meant the auto attack range.
No, the actual Q is.
Gotcha.
It says it somewhere, but I don't see where it is. It's 1,450, which is still pretty crazy, actually. Yeah. So that's how you use your first three guns in lane. The only other gun that you're going to use in lane before your first back is your flamethrower, which when you burn through either Gravitum or your sniper, you're going to have your flamethrower. Preferably try to burn through your sniper by like poking the enemy and going for like poke cues into like Gravitum. So as soon as you burn through your sniper, you're going to have your Gravitum and your Infernum, so your flamethrower and your utility stun gun. And the combo that I learned here is that when you have Infernum, you walk up melee range into the minions, if you can, without getting, like, dicked by the enemies. This is for, like, wave clear. You Q through all six of them, switch to your stun weapon, and then Q them again, and it, like, just nukes the wave. So, that's your wave clear early game. And that's how you use your first four guns in lane. Pog. Yeah, I honest to God, though, like, most of Aphelios is learning what guns you have, how to get the right ones, and when to use them. Like, mid-game, it completely changes. Mid-game, you start getting into, like, Crescendum combos and stuff like that. But for, like, early laning phase, honestly, just, like, follow the steps. Like, use your sniper to heal up. Use your pistol to heal up. Use your sniper to poke. Wait till you get Gravitum to hit your Qs on your sniper. And you're really in a good spot, honestly. It gets you through laning phase so, like, easily compared to, like, trying just to do, like, goofy shit.
Mm-hmm. That kind of sounds like the way Riot meant for him to be played.
Yeah, I just feel like it's very, like, not intuitive, I guess. Like, you have to play enough games or watch enough people who are, like, good at it.
That's fair.
To understand how to play them properly.
That's fair, yeah.
Like, just the basic, like, healing off of, like, your leash with pistol. Mm-hmm. It's something I didn't even fucking think of. Like, it makes so much sense, right? Like,
it does.
Ability literally gives you a max health shield. But I just didn't think of it. And I just watched, like, Reckless play a couple games of him. And, I mean, I feel a lot more comfortable using his kit.
Nice. Yeah, and I'm sure, like, having that ability to survive through laning phase helped a lot, too.
Oh, yeah, it's massive. He's a very unique character, and I feel like he's underplayed because he's so complex.
Mm-hmm. Cool. Nice. Cool. Thank you, Aiden. Sweet. Let's talk about LCS, then.
We get into this cool section.
Yeah, let's do it.
So last year, Travis Gafford of Travis Gafford Industries... made a really cool, like, how would you call this, like, a ranking, I guess, of the spring 2019 LCS teams ranked by their performance in the previous year compared to their salary. So, like, meaning he knows the salary numbers for, like, the salary numbers for all the teams, and then he would use a formula to rank the teams based on their performance to their salary, right? So last year, the teams, he wouldn't, like, give the numbers. He, like, because, like, he thinks that's, well, it's not confident. It is, okay, I said it kind of is confidential information, but, anyways, the teams last year in spring of 2019 were Cloud9, TSM, Echo Fox, Golden Guardians, FlyQuest, Optic, CLG, Team Liquid, Clutch Gaming, 100 Thieves. So to get an idea of kind of what we're looking at here is we have like teams like 100 Thieves paying like bang, like a shitload of money to be on their team. And they placed ninth, I think, last year. And yeah, like obviously, again, you have Team Liquid with their like superstar roster, like spending a shitload of money. So even though like they did well in 2019, this is before playoffs, by the way, this is just like their regular split. They were spending a fucked amount more than everyone else, right? So like they actually ranked eighth on the like salary to performance thing. So he did an updated one for this year, and he also gave numbers for the three teams that are no longer in the LCS, meaning Optic, which was the sixth most efficient team, was paying the, was their salary payout was just over $1 million. Echo Fox, which was the third most efficient team, was paying their players $1.1 million total salary. And then Clutch Gaming, which was the second least efficient team, because they came, I think Clutch actually came last in 2019, if I believe, they were paying their players $1.7 million for their roster. Right. So like using that information, you can kind of understand like where the other teams are like what the other teams are paying their players and stuff like that. If you look at wins, losses, stuff like that, yeah. It was a little bit fucked up because we learned that Cloud9, all their players were on contracts that gave them equity.
Oh,
yeah. And Riot said, huh. Hey, that's not allowed.
Yeah, that's kind of fucked up.
So like that's why, like, even though they did, I think they placed first in the split. No, maybe they placed second in the split. I don't remember if it was first or second.
In spring
2019.
I think it was second.
Either way, they were paying their players almost nothing because first of all, they had a bunch of rookies, and second of all, they also were giving equity instead of salary.
Yeah.
Right. So like their numbers are a little bit fucked up, but everyone else is like kind of gives you like a good idea of where we are. So mm-hmm. Moving on to spring 2020. Everyone in the league is spending more money on the rosters other than 100 Thieves and Golden Guardians, which are spending less. 100 Thieves, obviously, because they dropped a lot of their like fucking high cost players. And Golden Guardians, once again, also is on a pretty, I guess, like economically friendly roster. So ranking them this split, we have Golden Guardians in first, Cloud9, TSM, 100 Thieves, Immortals, EG, FlyQuest, Dig, Team Liquid, and CLG. So CLG,
classic, you can CLG just... last place, baby.
I mean, CLG should be last, right?
Yeah. What did they come this split? Do you remember?
I mean, 10th.
They came 10th, and they were spending a shitload of money on Crown at the beginning, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So it makes sense that they're 10th, right? And Golden Guardians obviously coming. I think they actually finished the split 4th. I want to say, were they 4th? Let me actually look up the.
I think they might have been 3rd.
They might have even been 3rd, and they were spending like a shitload less.
Very little. Yeah. They definitely overperformed.
Yeah, for sure. I just feel like this is a really, really interesting way to like get a perspective of like what teams are spending on rosters and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. Like, if you actually like, I'm sure you can break it down to kind of get an understanding of like this team spending almost double of this team, like based on like wins, losses. But I just think this is like a really cool thing that he's doing. I really appreciate him not like also releasing the numbers because I feel like that's also like not cool. But I think this is a really good way of doing it.
Yeah, I think so too. I wonder if he breaks it down by like dollar spent per win and loss.
I'm assuming it's like per win loss. Yeah, I would assume that's like the only way you can really do it. So meaning like if a team had double the amount of wins as like another team, then they better be like, I guess like doubling their placement almost. You know what I mean? They better be like way above them, right?
Yeah.
Or the roster should be half the price of that other roster, I guess is the
Yeah, that's sort of the expectation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's cool though. Is there anything that like is surprising you on like where placements are and stuff?
The only thing that really surprises about me is that, you know, he got these numbers either from the orgs or from the players of the salaries, and that we didn't find out about that because his significant other was streaming and he was having the phone call in the same room.
That's toxic. I really think the only interesting like one that stands out though is that like TSM is always like near the top because they really don't spend that much on their roster. Part of that now is because Bjerg is like a part owner of the team. but other than that, I just think it's like they're an org that they can pay their players like less than other orgs because they're such a big name and like it does a lot for the players. Just being on
which
the
is
team.
Interesting because they do tend to bring in a lot of high like. Big name imports as well. Mm-hmm.
Nice. Do you think Lena discussed Doublelift contract while he was in the room?
I don't know, man.
Anyways, we should drop that one. Oh, fuck.
Just move on. I had to do it since we didn't have any actual content about that this week.
We certainly can't make it 4 weeks in a row, right?
No.
Nice.
We'll come back to it next week.
All right, roundtable.
Roundtable. Last week's question was, if your main was released in Season 10, how would they be different? We got lots of cool answers. A lot of people like telling us how their character's shit. Nicholas on Facebook said, Katarina would have a slow on her Q, a shield if she hit three champions in a short period of time, and current percent health damage on her ulti. Also, 300% health regen on her passive. She'd need to be nerfed in the ground over the course of a season and a half to be buffed to where she is now. Hashtag balanced champion. Hmm.
I was thinking she'd get a shield when she uses her E on an enemy champion, and it prevents her ultimate from being interrupted.
I could actually see that, man. That'd be so fucking trash. Zach, who mains Zach, says, if Zach's E hits two or more people, it would automatically pop his ult, which would be a passive, and his new ult would be his old ult. I actually could see a world in which that's true, though. Like, if he hits two people, it just does the bounce thing of his ult.
I don't hate that, though.
Or even, I think it'd be kind of cool if you could, hit your ult while you were in the air with the E, because you know you're going to hit it, and it,
queued
it up to happen faster.
You buffer it?
Yeah. It'd be dope if you could buffer it.
Mm-hmm. That'd be really cool. Joseph said, Garen's passive would be Tenacity, which increased by level. With a nerf to the health regen, Q would be the exact same, except the silence would be AoE. W would be a dash with a reset on ultimate execution. Jeez. E would be the exact same, except that it'd be a toggle. R would be the exact same, but it would reset pikes. All around, very balanced character. The only thing I could actually see that actually happening, though, I could see Garen's E being a toggle if he's released.
A toggle at max rank?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, we could actually see that in, the future.
Yeah.
It'd be so fucking bad, though, for the game, I think.
I think so, too. I don't think it would be that good for Garen, either.
I think it's, the problem between him and Urgot for that is that he... Urgot can still use his other abilities, right? When he's has the thing on, whereas Garen would just be stuck in it, so you'd literally just be you're just clicking around.
Yeah, you're just spinning.
Yeah.
So Earth Garen.
Yeah. Daniel says, you see, Ahri, if Ahri came out in 2020, Riot would take her W and switch it with her alt and just buff the shit out of it. Actually true, though. That's what we talked about on our Patreon episode, the A1. We think Ahri's alt should be on a basic ability, to be honest.
I think so, yeah.
Maybe not three dashes, or maybe it'd be a charge system or something like that, but she needs mobility, man, for being a fucking the mobile mage when she came out. She's really bad.
She just needs more damage. She does nothing.
She's pretty weak.
Yeah. She does nothing or way too much.
Yeah. From our Discord, I grabbed a couple of really good ones. Guitar Guru said, my main is Jhin. Honestly, he fits in my opinion. He's got a passive that looks more like an essay. Some weird stat swapping malarkey. His ult is an X heat with a stupid high range. Though, in fairness, most modern champions are more mobile, so I'd say they'd probably make his movement speed bonus higher than it is. I actually think that's a really good take on it, though. Jhin kind of does feel like a season 10 character for the most part.
Yeah.
Just he's well-rounded for the most part. I do think he would have way more movement speed from his stuff, but I don't think he'd get any dashes. His kit just makes sense, I think, right now.
Mm-hmm. He'd probably have lifesteal on his fourth shot or some shit.
Or his traps would be different, maybe. His traps would be better, or I'm not sure how they'd work. They probably just wouldn't be a slow that you can walk out of, though, I would assume. Nomio says, been listening for about a year. This is my first time crawling out of my bronze 2 crevice to say anything. I'm an Orianna main. Here's what I think a season 10 release would look like. Overall, it's pretty similar. I would put her E passive onto her passive, granting whoever has the ball armored magic resist. Her W would disperse into her Q and E, making it so that enemies hit by the Q are slowed and allies shielded by it are sped up. Her new W would allow her to dash to the ball, because imagine a mid laner released in season 10 without a dash. Her ult would stay the same, except that it would do a billion damage, causing Riot to nerf every other part of a kit except for the one problematic part. True. Do think, a lot of that makes sense, though. The shield just, there being a different way to, attach ball to people, but, just the shield being on her passive, and then, her W just, happening when you move the ball or whatever.
Yeah.
A lot of that just makes sense, if she was released today. I think she's actually, pretty well designed still. She is, falling into the not mobile enough to keep up, but she's still a pretty good control mage.
Yeah, I agree.
And then last but not least, Wild Thane, who's in our Discord while we're talking here, he says, summary, Xerath, if released in Season 10, would be largely the same, but he'd have a passive similar to Spellbinder at 10 stacks, his next ability would be empowered, and the Ooh. Count resets. His Q would stack more damage with his stacks, and then do an AoE at 10 stacks. The W would just have a larger slow when empowered, and the center would do true damage, otherwise the same. And his E would be a better self-peel, giving longer stun with the number of stacks, and then giving a shield with a speed boost if used at max stacks. Empowered alt would have a larger AoE and a small slow on each shot. It would also have his mana passive cooldown reduced when you hit a spell at 75% or more range, rewarding skill shots with good mana sustain if you can keep yourself safe while walking into auto range more often. I like the idea. I do think like stacking up like for like certain abilities a little bit like weird, but I think like overall those buffs just happening I think would be cool. I would love if Xerath alt had like a slow field around it that didn't really do damage, so if you missed the shot but like they were just barely missed it, like it slowed them, it'd be kind of cool.
I think there's a lot of like small elements I think would be really cool, like if you hit the slow you get a movement speed boost, like the center of the W doing true damage. Like I think a lot of those that could definitely be considered, even the whole like getting some of your mana back or it reducing your passive cooldown if you hit abilities at like full range. I think all of that's cool and fits in pretty well.
Yeah, no, I agree. This week's roundtable question, though, is what is the hardest counter you've ever played against?
Personally, I mean, playing Renekton into Darius is really hard.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't think it's unwinnable until, like, level 6, and then it just becomes very difficult. Plus, it's just not very fun.
Yeah. I personally think Fiora into Urgot, I think, is one of the hardest counters in the game.
For who?
I think Fiora counters the shit out of Urgot.
Okay. I think Fiora counters a lot of characters.
Yeah.
Oh, absolutely.
But like, okay, so think of a Fiora versus Urgot matchup. So if the Fiora is any good, he can only ever use his E as an escape, and he cannot use his ultimate period.
Yeah.
Okay, so there's that. Then, if I do manage to hit my combo and start trying to swing around you with my shotgun legs...
She just dashes.
One, you can dash. Two, you can press R, and you going around me while I'm going around you is very easy.
Yeah.
And what does more damage, shotgun legs or Fiora ult?
Yeah, that's true.
So, like, there's no way that an Urgot should ever beat a Fiora in lane in my eyes.
I really like Fiora's, like, overall design, though. Look, the more I'm thinking about it, she fucking hard... She, like, probably hard counters, like, more... She probably hard counters the most number of characters, I'd say. But she also is, like, dog shit into so many characters.
Plus, it's, like, skill-based, right?
You can a lot of them are skill-based.
Yeah, you can definitely beat a Fiora as any of those champions, but it depends on how good the Fiora is.
Yeah. Like I think I think it's a really hard call to Fiora Urgot. Fiora Ornn I think is a very hard matchup for Ornn as well. I think it's one of his hardest matchups. This isn't the one I'm gonna say, but it's like same thing. If we're like you almost have to pretend that you're gonna brittle auto her so she uses riposte. Like that's like the only way you win trades. You have to like cancel your auto so she riposts. No, but the one I was gonna say is any single fucking melee character in the game into Quinn. I actually think Quinn is one of the hardest counterpicks in the game. Like, if you know how to play Quinn with, like, I don't know, 12% of your brain capacity, you just hard dick any melee character in the game.
Yeah.
She's ranged, but if they get on you, she gets to push you back, slow you, and proc, like, a super high damaging auto.
Plus, also gain a shit ton of attack speed.
It's so, like, you have to play a character that can get on her twice. Three times if she has flash.
And it all depends on the Quinn then, right? She has the agency for that lane. Because you can make the argument, oh, just interrupt the vault. But if you don't have any CC or your CC is attached to your dash.
Yeah.
Yikes.
Wild Thane brought out a really cool question in chat. He said, are there any hard counter lanes that aren't top? Or is that just the majority of where they are found. Like, obviously, I think top's, like, the hardest counterpick lane in the game.
Yep.
Like, it's so easy. It's such a long lane, so you can just abuse, like, bad picks. You kind of have to play something, like, super tanky or super safe, or else you kind of get dicked if they want to just win. But what about for other lanes? Jungle, mid, AD carry, support. Are there any, like, big ones that stand out?
I would say Olaf hard counters several junglers that are CC-reliant.
Mm-hmm.
Right, so like if you're playing Fiddlesticks against an Olaf or even Udyr, like anyone that relies on their CC to really make things happen, like if you're Fiddlesticks and you're playing against an Olaf, he runs up to you, you can't CC him away, he's faster than you, he outdamages you, like you just have to give it up. Mm-hmm. But I think a lot of those is just like you can go where he's not, you can make things happen elsewhere, whereas top lane, it doesn't happen as much because, like, you have to still be top and just try and farm and deal with it. I you know, there's plenty of characters that just counter hook characters like Ezreal and Sivir and, like, Tristana, which I think it's kind of stupid that they can animation buffer out of a CC. I think that should honestly be removed, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you have to dodge it. If you got hit by it already, you should get pulled, like, period.
Yeah, but I think that's, like, a champion, like, an ability countering an ability rather than a champion hard countering a champion.
Yeah.
Because you can absolutely still, like, get the kill as those characters, right?
Oh, of course.
Sure. Yeah.
But, yeah, I don't know. I can't think of any particularly super hard counters other than, like, I guess if you play, like, any tank mid into, like, an AD assassin, where it's like, oh, they pick Zed, and you're just like, cool, I'm going to play tank Sion. Deal with that.
That's my go-to, dude. You trying to have fun? Mm-mm. Alternatively, I'd like to offer the following suggestion. Kassadin into Aurelion Soul. Or at least old Aurelion Soul.
Yeah.
I'm not sure if it works that way anymore. Like, I'm not sure if it interrupts his W currently. But his Q used to, like, it has about the same range as his stars used to. And then as soon as you cast it, it silences you and interrupts it, puts it on the full cooldown. And then he also just hard outscales you.
Nice.
Yeah.
There's, like, a lot of weird ones. Like, if you ever seen a Katarina main play, their only band ever is Kassadin. Kassadin is the hardest, like, Katarina counter in the game. Like, there's, like, lots of weird ones. The best way to find out about, like, hard counters is, like, watching One Tricks play. I really think that's, like, the best way to understand stuff. Even from, like, the other player's point of view. Like, even if, like, for example, if I go up against a Master Katarina player, right, or, like, a Challenger Katarina player, I can't just probably pick Kassadin. Like, I'll probably do better if I pick Kassadin, but, like, I don't fully understand why it's such a hard counter, right, unless I went and watched, like, a bunch of games. So, like, you shouldn't just, like, pick hard counter just because, like, you know they're hard counters. You should at least understand why they're such hard counters and stuff.
And
that'd be my only advice going into it.
But cool. Yeah, for those, like, deep champion-specific things, just find a One Trick, see what they ban. Like,
yeah.
Same way to, like, learn the best combos on those kind of characters is, like, literally, you can dick around in a practice tool for 5 hours, or you can watch, like, a 5-minute video from a Katarina One Trick.
Yeah.
Yeah. Nice.
Cool.
Thank you, Aiden. If they want to send in their answers,
you can hit us up on Facebook at LeagueCast, send us an email, mail@leaguecastpodcast.com, or come into our Discord and post in our roundtable section.
All right, mail fight. We have the follow-up to Vi-Vi's Vizar adventure.
Seems like there's only two voices, so I'll let you
there's
guys...
There's only two voices, yeah.
That's all right.
Nice, so... But it also doesn't say who's supposed to do it.
Yeah, when you guys choose, when you can, you guys. All right,
Colton, you want to read this one? I'll. You can read this one. I'll just pretend to be set or whatever.
Okay. All right. Hey, LeagueCast crew, your auditions were so strong last week that I figured I'd let you guys fight amongst yourselves for the roles. This part only has two voices, Vi and Set. For Set, whoever does the strongest Dio should take his part.
So it should be Colton.
Do I do the best Dio?
I think so.
Okay. My intention was for him to sound like the English voice actor and then transition into Dio in this part. Besides that, Vi is a Jotaro, stand-in, but she reads a lot more like regular Vi. I'm a writer, not a director. Here it is. So we present to you Vi Vi's Bizarre Adventure, Part 2, A Tendency Towards Combat. Vi closed her fist with a hiss from her gauntlets and let out a cry of rage and agony, melded together. Caitlin's limp body lay broken on the street where she'd fallen just seconds before. When Vi tore her eyes from her friend's body, Set was already gone. She ran to the entrance of the building and found footprints in the dust and gravel. She followed them at a run, anger coursing through her as she muttered to herself under her breath, a constant bloody stream of curses and threats, ideas of violence she would inflict on Set when she finally got his head between her gauntlets, which she'd turned up as high as she could. She rounded a corner, and there he was, his back to her, staring up at the moon. There was no attempt at arrest, just a cry, a charge, and a haymaker that could have punched straight through a mountain. But instead, it swung through empty air. Adrenaline rushed through her body as time was moving slowly. She saw something coming from her other side and swung around, interposing her gauntlet between a heavy right hand and her head. A loud sound of flesh on metal echoed through the night, and Set felt the recoil in his arm, the bones in his hand flexing to their limit and rattling in their sockets. It hurt more than he'd been hurt in a long time. Instead of agony, pleasure spread through his twisted face. He hadn't felt this rush in so long. He threw out a flurry of punches with a loud cry, and Vi matched every one with a quick jab of her own, that her gauntlets turned into heavy slams of machine on man. They both paused to catch their breath, surprised by the other. Set was strong, but so was Vi. He pushed himself away and reached his hand into his coat as Vi threw a punch at his head that could have removed it from his shoulders, but once again, he was gone. He had moved in an instant, with no time to travel as far as he'd made it. The broken clock flashed to her mind, but she had no clue why. She caught a fist to her ribs and cried out in pain, doubling over, but she threw herself to the side to narrowly avoid the follow-up. Set was laughing now as he fell back into his boxing stance, a stance he hadn't had to don in so long. This was the first time since he'd found that piece of Hextech that he'd felt a real challenge. Sorry, am I doing Vi or am I doing Set or are you?
You're doing Set.
Okay, I wasn't sure. Come on, Vi, he said as her eyes widened in surprise. Ah, so you are Vi. I heard you two speaking as you got here. So come on, Vivi. Let's dance.
Don't call me that.
She cried as she ran forwards, punching through the building behind him and blasting a massive hole in the wall as he taunted her from his new position once again. He punched her to the other side now, setting both sides of her ribs on fire. Suddenly it dawned on her as she noticed that every time his hands moved into his pocket, he moved. The clock. No time at all. It all made sense now. She adjusted herself and then charged at him again, feinting a punch. But when he wasn't there, she turned and slammed her fist into his chest, grabbed him as he fell backwards, and then threw him down the street, her gauntlets adding several meters to his skid. When he came to a halt, his hand went back into his coat, and then his eyes widened as Vi strolled towards him. Something was in her gauntlet. An hourglass. His hourglass.
Looking for this? I won't lie. I have no idea how this thing works.
She said as her lips curled into a smile, but not one of pleasure. It was a smile of vengeance. A smile of anticipation. Her eyes reflected the pain in her heart, and Set recognized that at a glimpse, not just into her emotions, but into his future, if he didn't end this fast. He pushed himself to his feet and dusted himself off. All right, let's do this, he growled, with his eyes alight with anger.
Pog.
Bum, 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 bum.
To be continued.
I gotta go back and watch that fight.
So good, man.
That's so sick.
Watch it. Watch the old version of it.
Watch the old version?
Yeah, it's actually sick. I think it's so cool.
Yeah. Yeah. I'll have to do that. Nice. Thank you, Foxlove.
Yeah, thanks for the email and the writing.
Next email's from Chris, who said, subject melee-focused game. A pro tip all the way from Norway, For Honor is a really good melee-focused game. If you like Samurai, Vikings, or Knights, this game is for you. It's a medieval fighting game with a unique fight mechanism. Yeah, I think, I guess, like, last week we were talking about the Culling, right?
Yeah.
And I think we just want like a melee-focused battle royale game rather than like a just a melee fighter, I suppose.
Yeah. So like they made some adjustments to their thing, by the way. They're still morons.
Oh, okay. Let's get the update.
The update is that every day you get 10 tokens now.
So you can play 10 matches every day?
Yeah, which I think is just more than enough that you ever... Who's going to play more than 10 matches? Like, I don't see their business model now.
Like, yeah. Like, obviously it wasn't going to work in the future, but now it's like doubly so not going to work. After 10 matches, who's going to say, you know what, yeah, I'd like to give more money for more matches.
And that they haven't won any of them.
Yeah. I don't know. Assuming it actually does launch to PC after, because it's definitely not going to do well on Xbox. It's on Xbox right now. If it does make its way to PC, you guys still want to play some, though? Now that we can play 10 games a day?
Fuck no.
Don't we have to buy the game first?
No, we both own it. We already
oh,
own it.
Oh, so they're re-releasing the same game.
Yeah.
But they're just charging people for it this time.
Yeah.
I feel like I don't even want to support them with a download.
Weird champ.
I'm going to. I need to play that game. I need to inject
I'm
going to
definitely
veins.
Play it and see. It was a blast. But God, it's so bad, man. Like
morons.
Can we seriously? We're going to start a GoFundMe for us to buy the Culling.
We could run it better. I guarantee it.
Wait,
we make it so much of a better game. We can hire like Paul and Rick and Kevin and Alex. They would make the game good.
Foxelf in our chat said, I wonder if they did an actual Culling and none of the marketing team survived.
Probably. I don't think they had any marketing staff to begin with is the problem.
Yeah. It's just sad, man. Oh, well. What can you do?
Jesus. Nice. Thank you, Chris.
Next email is from The Crag. What's up, peoples? I was thinking about the resetting Ultimates thing, and I think here's a few that are great. Mordekaiser. Rumble, Fiddlesticks,
Jesus.
Silas, Tarek, and Nami. Anyway, keep up the good work and have a nice quarantine. Imagine if Mordekaiser ult was that way. That'd be so fucking cool. Like, it'd be awful.
So if you get the kill, you just go back in?
Like, I think if you kill them, you pop out and you can just cast it again. Like, you pull the next person into the death realm.
That's really
That's
cool.
That's not enough death.
Their ally's body is just lying there.
Interesting.
Like, you're next. That'd be so badass.
Ooh, then you get to play like a Dead by Daylight type game where you can revive your person.
Yeah.
If you win, you get to revive everyone.
Do quick time events with generators.
Yeah. There's like 5 generators set up in the death room.
And if you get them
all activated, the exit starts.
That game's actually so dog shit.
It's fun.
I feel like it's fun like if you're in a call with everyone.
Just the core gameplay loop so fucking bad, man. It shouldn't be a popular game at all.
I think that game could be like if they made like Dead by Daylight 2, and they, I think it would require a lot of like changes to the core gameplay. But I would love the idea of like there's these unique maps and it's like randomly spawned throughout in the boxes instead of tools like they would still have like med kits and flashlights and stuff, but it's like. Okay, instead of just hitting quick time events, it's like you have to collect components and like fix things, or like you'd need a lot of different like skill challenges and like actual gameplay that's not literally like your options are run, hide, fix thing. Like those are the only things you do in that game.
And then you shine a flashlight in the killer's eye and then you get your friend.
It's just insane to me that that's some people's main game. Some people probably have like 3,000 hours of Dead by Daylight. The gameplay loop
Soda has a shit ton of hours
just,
on it.
It's just such a... The gameplay loop's so fucking tiny, man. I know I'm saying that as somebody who plays Sea of Thieves, but still. Like,
true.
It's just crazy that that's someone's main game.
Yeah.
But you do Mordekaiser ult, resetting would be nuts.
That'd be pretty sick.
Can you imagine, like, your whole team is sitting there waiting, hoping the ally gets out. He kills them. They're like, fuck, who's next?
I also like the idea of, like, Silas, but with the caveat that you have to kill your target with the ultimate. If you kill the person you stole the ultimate from, it should reset.
That'd be really cool.
That'd be so
pretty
sick.
Awesome, yeah.
But if they kill you with the ultimate that you stole, they get their ultimate back.
They get your ultimate.
They get your ultimate. You get to steal someone else.
You permanently get their ultimate, and they permanently get yours.
Cool.
You see the thing on Reddit where Silas like permanently turned into Shyvana on Earth and the game started recognizing me Shyvana?
That's
so no.
Because he's like, you have like infinite mana, so he was just in dragon form permanently, and eventually the game recognized him as Shyvana, I guess.
Yeah, but his icon is Shyvana.
Weird.
I bet you it triggered when he leveled up. I bet you
something like that, yeah.
I feel like I had something, but I can't remember now. Oh, well. Cool. Thank you, Craig. Next email's from Super Peach. Haley Cass had an interaction in a league game the other day I wanted to share. Got in a champ select. We're red side. Our first pick was a Thresh support. Second pick was mid lane Nasus. Third pick was Vayne top. At this point, our jungle said in chat he was going outside the norm too, because the other two are doing it and locked in Ezreal jungle. At this point, I'm picking bot lane and we're pretty AD heavy, so I went for Ziggs bot. Naturally, the game isn't going so well and the Nasus mid is wanting to surrender and ends up purposely sitting in Fountain because the surrender vote failed. The Nasus has the audacity to be mad at our unconventional picks, even though he went off the reservation first. We did end up surrendering about 10 minutes later. Anyway, this interaction reminded me of the story you guys had about the Evelynn player who insisted that ganks weren't, that didn't result in kills were not ganks. For the life of me, I can't remember what she said. Cheers, Super Peach. P.S. You guys play Valorant, and do you play with LeagueCast fans? We will talk about Valorant. I think we have an email later on in the show about that. Occasionally, we do. And historically, we have played some tiny bit with some LeagueCast fans.
I don't have Valorant yet, so I don't. It's been a hot minute since we got an email from Super Peach.
Yeah, it's been a minute. But currently, I don't think I would say don't expect Valorant games. It's not my favorite game. And then I think it's just difficult to set up a night when everyone's free and able to host something.
Yeah, I've set up a couple. We've done a couple. If you're in the Discord, I usually post about it, but that's about it.
Yeah. And that's definitely the best way to get notified about it. I was playing some ARAMs the other night with some listeners, and then we played a Nerf game. So, just definitely get in Discord and get active, and that's the best way.
The quote that you are referencing is, it's not a gank, it's a save.
Yeah, but what was the other one?
That was it, I think.
There's another one.
There was another one where she would gank and she didn't and she didn't get a kill, right? Because the save would indicate that she came bottom.
I think it was just like that. It was a failed gank by her. No, the save was like mid.
Quote,
so like first
quote
she
failed because we burned all four summoners.
Yeah, she ganked bottom. We killed them. She ganked bottom. I think we killed them. She ganked bottom. We burned four summoners for them, and she went, "Nah, I'm not coming bottom again." It wasn't a successful gank. And then we were memeing her. That's when she went mid, and we went, "Nice gank." And she went, "No, it was a save."
Oh, gotcha. Okay. Yeah, that makes sense.
It was great.
Christ.
Yeah. As for this, I mean, I feel like if you're gonna pick a late game champion, like for instance, Nasus or Vayne, you've got to be committed to losing the first like 20 minutes of the game anyway, right?
Yeah.
Like if you pick those champions, you have to commit to a like a 30-35 minute game at least before you can start surrendering.
Yeah.
But I don't know. It's wild.
You mean people pick odd picks and like game picks, and then when they don't win lane, they freak out. Like it sucks, but that's how it is.
Yeah.
I don't know, man. I think Ziggs bot's not bad though.
I don't think Vayne top's bad, and I also don't think Nasus mid is the worst.
I don't think
actually.
It's necessarily mid. I think there are ways to play it that are okay.
Yeah, yeah.
That being said, I think, do we want to move into the next email?
Yeah.
Our next email is from William, a.k.a. Purple Play Panda. Hey, guys. First, you guys are great. Your podcast content is always superb. I'm not an avid player, but I love the game and its intricacies. And you all bring such great perspectives and opinions. Honestly, if Riot were to go out and try doing podcasts again, they would need to hire you hands down. But this email isn't about the game, but about your brand and where you guys want to progress the podcast. Has LeagueCast merch crossed your mind? Not anything regarding Riot IP like champions or items, but your own items like hats, shirts, cups, etc. with your logo on it. if you're interested, I'd be happy to help get that going with a store and sourcing some drop shipping products. That way you don't even deal with the product. Make limited time only items for anniversaries and more. How about doing the podcast over Zoom or another video platform provided as like a Patreon exclusive and Discord/Audacity for the audio podcast? I have a good sized background with web development and graphic design that I'd be happy to lend to you, see you guys expand. Just want to see the podcast grow. Let me know and keep up the good content. So we've definitely thought about a lot of these things, and I think we'll probably go into more detail in just a direct email response, because it's kind of more of like a business inquiry, but do you guys have any comments on any of those questions or thoughts?
I have comments on all the last ones, like the last couple, because so I do most of the like behind the scenes stuff, posting it, editing the show, stuff like that. The biggest problem like doing video, I like the idea of doing video podcasts. I just think like the biggest problem is that I really don't have the bandwidth where I live like to do that. Like my internet's slow as shit. I have almost no upload, meaning first of all, streaming/recording a video podcast is already a problem, but then downloading a like file, or like I guess me, even if I just like do it myself locally, like I locally have the file, uploading a video podcast each week is a fucking nightmare, because it's going to be like a 1 gigabyte file, and that takes a long time to upload. That being said, like in the future, when I am living somewhere else with better internet, I think video podcasts would be pog. I think it's a very small demographic, but I think those the people that it pleases is always good. I also think posting YouTube is really good. We used to post to YouTube with our audio podcasts, but then Podbean did some stupid shit where they made it so you could only auto upload using their thing once a week. So once a week, that's fine. We can record the show once a week. But turns out if we record once a week at 7 o'clock this week, we finish at 7 o'clock. Well, the next week we can't auto upload until 7:01. I mean, so the next week we can't auto upload until 7:02. And then it becomes a problem because when we get late enough, we go, oh, we'd have to like skip a week, and then it's just fucking awkward. So we just stopped like doing it on there because that's a dumb way to do it. They should just do it by like calendar date and that would work fine. But they're dumb.
Yeah.
So that's why we don't do that. Yeah.
Yeah. As for merchandise, it's that's sort of something that we've considered in the past. At least personally, I don't think we have enough interest in it at the moment to kind of warrant putting in, I guess, the amount of time it would take.
We could maybe throw out like a Discord survey, I guess, just because like, I think there definitely is interest. And we've gotten this question several times, but I think that the interest versus like, you know, if we maybe set up like a pre-order of like, hey, we're considering making these things, like if we get enough like confirmed pre-orders, then we'll go out and make it, otherwise just refund. I don't know how exactly to do that, but like if the interest is there, I don't think we have an issue with it. It's just it's a lot of work where if it ended up being like, oh cool, two people want to buy a cup, like that that would suck to have to go through all that effort for that.
But yeah, that's pretty sick. We'll definitely get back to you, and take those into consideration. Thank you, William. It's at least going to open up another another channel for that discussion.
Yeah, and thanks for the interest and the good wishes for our show.
Yeah. Next email is from SHXMPO4, who said, hello, assorted members of the LeagueCast. I have a few questions, so sorry for the long email. Number one, why in high elo do you only see early dominant junglers like Olaf and Elise played when pro players are skilled in warding and map awareness to avoid ganks? Wouldn't a high economy power farmer like Master Yi be better, as then they can avoid wasting time on failed ganks and influence the game later on? And I think we should sort of tackle this one at a time.
Sure.
Because I think this is going to be a little bit more in-depth.
Sure, yeah. It kind of builds on itself, probably.
Yeah. So the thing is, I guess with a Master Yi type character where you just want to focus on farming, you're surrendering a lot of map pressure that allows your laners to play more aggressive and make plays themselves, so that way you don't have to facilitate every single play. For instance, you have, I don't know, a pretty aggressive top laner who, because you're playing Master Yi, can suddenly not go as aggressive. So they picked Renekton, and they can't do Renekton things early game because the jungler is not, I guess, participating in the rest of the map at the same level that the enemy jungler is. There's never going to be a counter gank. It's always just going to be, I could be getting 2v1'd or 1v1'd at best. Like,
Yeah, and then that might open up, you know, again, if you're Renekton and you can't pressure your lane opponent, well, that's not a very good game for you because they're going to eventually mm-hmm. outscale. A note right off the bat is pro players are skilled in warding and map awareness to avoid ganks. Pro junglers are skilled in knowing where you ward and yeah. how you're going to look out for that. Like, it's a very, you know, two-sided argument where it's like, the people that are better at knowing that what's coming are also playing against people who are really good at being unpredictable or only going when, you know, the options are only get ganked or lose 10 CS. Like, it's negative either way because of how things played out,
mm-hmm.
and you just have to make a call there. The other thing I would say is, like, if you were playing Master Yi against Elise, she could just, you know, go kill the Master Yi in jungle a bunch of times.
Hello?
Oh, there you go. I think Discord exploded.
Oh, okay.
Or Colton just exploded.
yeah, I wasn't sure if Colton's mic, like, didn't pick up or something.
No, I think Colton's internet died. Cool. Just like yeah. just like he's talking about.
yeah, it's just sort of like, it's a lot easier. I mean, I guess the short and sweet of it is it's a lot easier to play from ahead with a lead than it is to try to win from behind. And with early game junglers, you are more often guaranteed to have a lead, right?
Yeah. So. Like it's the whole argument. Like LS was like talking much about this on Twitter a bunch. Him like Amazing had like the Twitter beef about it. Like
mm-hmm.
LS like looks at the way this guy's looking at it is very similar to how LS looks at it, where like in a perfect world, yeah, farming junglers should be good, maybe not Master Yi, but like the ones that can just sit in their jungle. Because if you're playing the game perfectly, right, yeah, junglers shouldn't die to ganks, right? Mm-hmm. Like you should just be able to like power farm jungle, invade, take more shit and get a crazy lead, right? But we don't live in a perfect world where people don't make mistakes, people don't get like killed by ganks and stuff. That's why like these aggressive junglers are played, right? You can like have crazy impact on lanes. But yes, in a perfect world, yeah, just being able to farm because these players are so skilled and they shouldn't die. Yeah, I think I agree, power farming should just be better, right?
Mm-hmm.
But that's not the world yeah. we live in.
Number two, going on this point, shouldn't low farming high gank playstyles be better in low elo as less wards and map awareness is present, yet the kings of bronze are Yi and other farming champions? Yes, it should be. And I think for the most part, that falls on Yi being an easier character to play mm-hmm. than most of the high gank, low farm required junglers. It's a lot easier to play Master Yi than it is to play Elise, right?
Yeah.
Despite Elise being a much better and much more viable pick in a lower elo setting. And I think that's pretty much, that's it. There's not a lot of other, I don't know, points to make about that unless you have something, Aiden.
I think it's pretty straightforward. Yeah. I think you got it.
Yeah. Number three, I was wondering what some of the best account names you saw, were, whether they made you laugh, like More Gank Freeman was one he liked, or Fear the level 31, 80% win rate Darius with the name Noxus Rise. Keep up the great work as I really enjoy tuning in weekly. Your resident EU West Silver 3 player, SHXMPO4.
SHXMPO4. What's a recent account name that you've seen that you've liked?
I played with the name Mac and Cheese today. It's just solid. It's yeah. not like funny or anything. It's just that's a good account name.
Shout out I got to one. Dylan. You have to sit down for this one. Like, it's not as fun. I think it's the fucking funniest thing, man. Kennedy thought it wasn't very funny. I thought it was so funny. Someone's okay, account so name in funny. ARAM was Elo Hack. I thought that was so fucking funny.
It's definitely hilarious.
I think it's so about? Fucking funny. Elo Hack.
it's like just, you can't say hell.
It's just crazy that like that's so clever. Like I've never heard that before.
Yeah. Oh, I'm stuck in Elo Hack. That's hilarious. Oh man, I like that one a lot. Nice. Ugh. Thank you. Thanks, man. For your email. Do you want to give this one a shot? There's only one email that you'd have to read.
Sure. This one's all from right. Miss Rona. He says, everyone knows people with little PPs are the only ones who play champions like Karthus, Yasuo, and Sona on Earth. Lemao, totally kidding, kinda. Anyways, what are your top three picks at Earth that aren't meta Earth picks? Mine are Lissandra, Quinn, and Alistar. Alistar smash. By the way, I've been listening for a few months and I love your podcast. Helps me on my route. I'm a mailman.
Nice. Oh, thank you for your essential service, my friend.
Yes.
Honestly, it's gotta be Yumi plus anything, right? I think I've fallen in love with that character on Earth.
Yeah.
I played a Hecarim with Mountain Drew's Yumi, and we played against a Yumi Jin, and it was just we couldn't catch each other. Like, we both were so fast.
Yeah.
It was a good time. Yeah. I think Yumi's probably my most favorite because she just enables every character to just be way more fun, mm-hmm. I guess. Who else? Who are some other good ones?
Just quickly before we jump into this, if you try to type a message in our Discord, it doesn't post right now, which I think means Discord's down, but we're somehow still in here. Just to let you know, so if it does crash, let's hop on TeamSpeak. If it does.
Okay. That's a good idea.
If you type message, it goes, yeah, you can't send it. I try to retry.
And we're going to keep the recording going, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Just in case.
Okay, good idea. Uh-oh. It feels like you and I are just like, we're astronauts, right? And we just lost contact with Houston.
Yeah.
We're just out here on a solo mission.
Yeah.
Nice. Who's some other good Earth picks?
It's stupid, but like Yumi is Cancer, and I'm surprised you didn't say Yumi is one of like your Cancer ones.
She's Cancer as fuck, but like if Yumi's open, you have to pick her.
Yeah.
Or else you just lose the game.
Because Kennedy and I played Yumi set, and that was the most fun I've had.
Isn't it so fun?
It's insane.
You just go and you punch everyone, dude. Yeah.
You can't die. It's sick. What about you? You have any fun ones? Other than like your the ones you said?
No. I said Yumi. I played Yumi Hecarim, and I think that's the only one I've played so far, if I'm not mistaken.
You with any of those like kind of like pseudo healing characters are crazy. Yumi Hecarim, Yumi Sat, and Yumi Aatrox, I think are the best ones.
Yeah, or just someone fast, right?
Yeah.
Which is kind of why Hecarim's so good, is because he scales off that healing and like the healing and the movement speed aspect.
Like the main thing is like with Yumi is the fact that they've nerfed her healing by like 30%, right? Yeah, they've nerfed her damage by like 40% or whatever, right? Like, they crush these numbers, right? But they didn't nerf her speed.
Yeah, she's still real fast. Like, she makes someone real fast.
Yeah.
Nice.
Cool.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you, Miss Rona. Our last email is from Pards Bay. I mentioned it in the Discord, but I decided to send an email to get additional thoughts. A month ago, I emailed saying one of these has to go, Legends of Runeterra, Valorant, TFT, or League of Legends. And you all unanimously said Legends of Runeterra. Curious on if thoughts have changed since the official launch of Runeterra. Thoughts on the movie Gladiator. Also, if you search P in the champion select bar, 8 champions show up. Can you name them all?
Well, I'm looking at them right now, so.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
Nope.
No, we cannot name them all.
It's Aphelios, Cassiopeia, Gangplank, Nunu and Willump, Malphite, Pantheon, Poppy, and Pike.
Cool.
So, that was a fun little trivia. I'm going to say Valorant.
Yeah, but it's also like, as soon as it comes out, I think you should ask us this question again, Pards.
Yeah, I think you should. Yeah.
Same with like when like the fighting games comes out, when like their other games come out, like when they all come out, I think it's like it's good to add them. Like right now, if we had to choose out of the three that are out, TFT, Legends of Runeterra, and League, I think I would choose TFT to go, but I'm not sure.
I would also choose TFT. I personally feel like I don't think I will ever say League, just straight up.
Yeah.
And TFT is not my favorite. Also, I think it's too long.
It is way too long, I think.
It's hard to sit down and say, like, all right, I'm going to play a couple matches of TFT, because that's like 3 hours. But
I wish it was like half the length of the games. Like, that would be insane.
I honestly do too, yeah.
Yeah, it'd be so much better, I think.
I think so too. Maybe that's some of the galaxies they can experiment with, right? Like, oh, fucking super low HP galaxy. Everyone's got 50 HP. But who knows?
Yeah.
But otherwise, like, Legends of Runeterra feels super good. There are some aspects that I'm not enjoying tremendously, but otherwise, it actually feels tremendously flushed out, I'll say.
I still think it's like not the best TCG.
I don't think so either. Yeah.
I mean, or I guess CCG. Yeah, CCG. But it's like it's using an IP that I like, which I hate to say it, man, is a way to get people to play shit.
Oh, absolutely.
You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
Like, I've heard like Shadowverse is insane. I've heard like there's a couple like good CCGs that I haven't tried. I just have no fucking interest in like learning them. You know what I mean? It's not a genre that I really care like a ton about. So it's not like I want to just play the best one, right? I just want to play one that like I know that character.
Yeah, I mean, I get it too. I heard Gwent was fantastic.
Yeah.
And I like the Witcher like universe, but I kind of like the League one more.
Yeah.
So. Yeah, thank you, Pards. Thoughts on the movie Gladiator? I can't remember if I've ever seen it. I probably have, but it's probably one of those movies that I just didn't pay attention to.
Yeah.
While I was watching it. Cool. Thanks, Pards. That'll do it for this episode of LeeCast. Thank you all for joining us on the space journey with us, with Astronaut Aiden and I.
Yep.
We lost a man today, but I wouldn't be lying if that's the one. We had discussions with Houston and we launched him out. We ejected him.
Kennedy and I just finished watching the Beyond the Curve documentary, Beyond the like the flat earth, like anti-flat earth thing. My favorite part of that whole document, like, the favorite part is like when they like the flat earthers do experiments that just don't work and they're like, that's weird. But no, my actual favorite part is like when they have it's Scott Kelly, right? I think it's Scott Kelly. Yeah, Scott Kelly, the astronaut. He's like, yeah, the last time I heard about the whole flat earth thing is when I was on the moon. It's just fucking funny, right?
Oh man. Nice. Thank you all for listening. If you want to check out our Twitter, it's at LeeCast and at LeeCastFrost. On Facebook, we are at LeeCast. Come talk to us on Discord. You can get a Discord link from our website, leecastpodcast.com/discord, or you can send us an email, mail@leecastpodcast.com. That's where you can send any other emails as well. Check us out on Twitch, twitch.tv/bluebasket and /kinglardot, our every stream. Our website is leecastpodcast.com. And support us on Patreon, patreon.com/leecast. Like we said, we uploaded the JoJo one last week. We're going to be uploading our fixes for the E champions this week. So make sure to check that out. Thank you all for listening. We'll see you next week. Bye.
Bye.